He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. My special guest tonight is somebody that I've been trying to get on the show for a little bit now. She is a media mogul, entrepreneur, and the author of the best-selling book Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way. She is Nelly Galan. She's done pretty much anything you can think of, and maybe the craziest thing is write a book. So congratulations on the book, Nelly.
You're probably right about that. I think the craziest of the whole bunch was writing the book.
Yeah,
it certainly seems quite an experience.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be some of the most unpredictable because there's so many hands that try to touch it. But obviously your message, your core, you are who you are. You're self-made, as you said, and it's hard for you to lose that autonomy, especially writing a book. Let's get right into it. Again, the book is called Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, Rich in Every Way, with a wonderful foreword from Susie Orman. Now, I do want to make sure that everyone understands very clearly. When you say rich in every way, you're also not shy about talking about money. You actually start off with a powerful quote about money and how kind of your problems start to go away or certain things start to go away and your fears start to get allayed when you start to have money and you start to become wealthy in dollar amounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially for women feel like to say that they need or want money is like a dirty thing, but it's really not because – it's not that I say money makes you happy, but money buys you freedom, and freedom makes you happy. I think that when you find your power because you're not living in survival, but because you really get to the point where you can work because you want to and not because you have to, that brings you a lot of happiness.
Absolutely.
And and I think it's much better to be really honest and say, look, in life, like when young people, a woman today called me and she goes, when do I know that I can leave my job? And I go, do you have 2 years of money saved? And so, like, in other words, you have to use your young years when you have a lot of energy to make money, save money, invest money, so the rest of your life you're not struggling through survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a powerful message, obviously.
So I think it's important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's something that obviously Susie Orman tries to hammer home as well. So it's important to note that people should not be afraid of money. It shouldn't be something that we look at as evil. I don't consider it the root of all evil. I consider it a tool, which is why it was created, right? If our currency exchange was paper, if our currency for exchange was paper clips, Nelly, we'd all be going crazy for paper clips. But we don't do that because that's not the accepted currency. But money is, and it allows us to do a lot of different things. And
absolutely.
Once we start getting to these places, we start to experience fear. And when we do this, the book is something I like to do. It's actually from page 48, goes into page 49. In order to transform itself, it is in us long before it happens. You're talking about fear. It reminds you of a quote, and you write this here too. Good things can happen even if we can't see them yet. Now, that's very profound on so many levels. So I'd like for you to talk more about that quote and your life experiences with this quote and how it impacted you.
Well, I think that when you start to make changes in your life and you start to see things differently, things start changing around you and you don't even see what's going on. But really, the only person you can control in this life and the only person you can change is yourself. And so when you start taking full responsibility for your life, for your well-being, for your financial state, and for your happiness, something radically shifts in you and you realize you can do it. That it's possible and that it's not someone else's job to save you. And I think that's a radical idea because I think men and women, you know, I say this so often, I say in the book, kill Prince Charming, there's no Prince Charming. And a lot of men come up to me and they say, you know, I'm so tired of having to like be the breadwinner, save someone, make someone happy. I think we all have to think about this idea of radical self-reliance, that we can do this ourselves, that it's our job to do the inside-out shift and things that we can do it. And a big part, the beginning step of that, the starting line of the race of that is making money.
Absolutely. And once again, speaking with media mogul, entrepreneur, and now turned best-selling author, the author of Self-Made, Nelly Galan. I know you probably don't get tired of hearing it right now. It seems so novel, everything that you've done. And
I love it, yes. I almost giggle.
the again, I want to take some parts from the book is, again, something I really love to do because people want to know. This is the whole purpose
yeah,
of talking about
of
it. I'm not talking about just the cover and all this, you know, the binding of it and all this irrelevant stuff that people talk about. I want to get into the content of it, right? So you talk about moving forward, doing things ourselves, trying to do great things, trying to be great, believing in ourselves. But before we can do all that and when we approach that fear, we have to be able to choose ourselves. Once we choose ourselves
–
That's when you get into the fear. That's when the fear starts to encroach upon our, you know, day-to-day decision-making. You wrote in here, oh, my God, I meant to do great things. Now, once we have that, I call it an epiphany. Once we have that, doesn't matter if you're male, female, whatever, there's something else that triggers that. So let's talk about that, the progression to that thought, that epiphany, and, of course, the short aftermath of that.
Well, the epiphany also comes and goes because sometimes – you know, we all have delusions of grandeur combined with low self-esteem, right? So sometimes, you know, when I ask people, well, what is it that you do? And like, let's say a woman says to me, well, I'm a really good cook. And I go, well, are you a cook or are you a chef? What are you? Because we diminish ourselves in the way we speak about ourselves when we're called to say what we do or what we, you know, what we are.
Yeah.
Men
almost
tend to be better at that. Yeah, almost embarrassed. And I say, you have to choose yourself every day. Because if you don't tell me that you love yourself and that you think you're great, how am I going to know that? But with that comes a lot of fear because, you know, you get told a lot in your family or by people around you, oh, you know, who do you think you are or whatever. You know, the people that are really successful have to choose themselves every day. Have to, like, you know what, so today maybe I didn't do as well as yesterday, but tomorrow I'm back on the horse and I'm doing it again. Because if not... how is anyone else supposed to see your greatness?
Yeah, you're right. If you're hiding it.
If you don't see it, how am I supposed to see it?
Yeah, and if you're not proud enough to talk about it, you don't have to aggrandize. But at the same time, you should talk about it. You should advertise a little bit because, like you said, Nellie, people are not going to know otherwise.
Well, and you know what? I have to say that over and over again because, first of all, I'm Latina. And I come from a traditional culture. And I look at so many of my multicultural brothers and sisters that are raised like, oh, be humble, don't talk about yourself, don't put yourself out there. But it doesn't work for us. It's why it keeps us small. And so I have to say it because you don't often hear a Latin woman talking about making money and becoming abundant and becoming wealthy. And I think I really want to kill that thought. You know, that's a thought we all have from, you know, generations ago that doesn't work for us. It's not good.
100% right. And again, as we progress and we start encountering these things and we start to break the shackles, I call them shackles, of these things that we were told. And there's nothing wrong with being modest. There's nothing wrong with keeping to yourself sometimes. But you have to realize an opportunity when it's in front of you.
Correct.
It's a very powerful O word. We hear about the F word. We hear about the M word. We hear about all these stupid words. We don't listen to we don't hear about the N word, the O word. Quite as often as we should, that word opportunity. And opportunity comes from a lot of different things. And one of those is noticing when someone's in front of you, people are in front of you that can help you get to where you want to get but also reciprocating at the same time and giving in order to receive it. And that's in choosing a mentor. Let's talk about that you speak about so deeply in the book.
Yeah, I think it's such a big deal because I would say opportunity and sacrifice. I talk to a lot of people. And they say to me, well, I was offered this opportunity, but I had to move to Texas. Well, okay. I mean, you know, sometimes you actually have to, everything is not going to come to you on a silver platter sitting where you live. You know, you do also have to sacrifice. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you're being called to move or something is, you know, you're being given signs and then you just like let them go because you're too stuck in your box of what your life is supposed to look like. And I think, you know, I talk about that a lot because we're brimming in a country with so many opportunities, but sometimes they're not right where you are. Or sometimes you have to go to that other place and move in with a friend or sacrifice for a bit so that something big shows up in your life. And you have to be able to recognize that. You know, when I was 17 years old, I got an offer to go work in Texas. On a TV show. In my life, I would have never thought I should work in TV. And I told my parents, and my parents, very traditional Latinos, were like, you can't go, you're not 18. And I said, you guys, I will escape if I have to go. You didn't bring me all the way from Cuba for me to come here and not take advantage of all the great things in this country. And the day that I left, my mother was crying, and she goes, I'm never going to forgive you for this. And so many young people, especially from traditional cultures, say, you know, my parents won't let me leave home or whatever. And I said, what would have happened if I didn't leave home that day? You know, my mother learned to drive. She learned to speak English. She got, you know, she got a job. When I left, she was afraid, and she was she would have held me back by being afraid. And, you know, now I have a kid, and I understand her pain, and I feel bad because I go, oh, my God, the day my kid leaves me. But we all have to take radical risks and make sacrifices and go after all the possibilities that are out there for us. There's so many.
When I was speaking with the media mogul entrepreneur and now best-selling author on the book Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, Rich in Every Way, Nelly Galan. Nelly, let's I want to take a pause from the book now. I will get back to it, obviously, before we close out the interview. But I want to talk about you, and I know that's kind of what we've been talking about, but not to the degree that I think is appropriate because we've been focusing on the book. I think it's appropriate to talk about some stuff that you've been alluding to, your background, your history, how you struggled, how you clawed your way, how you said, no, Mom, I'm doing this. No, you know, no family. This is what I'm doing. It's no accident that you mentioned Texas in your example a few minutes back, but and obviously just giving that story now. But let's talk about that again, some of the hardships, some of the travails that you had to go through, some of the tumult that people don't really realize, because now they see you have a beautiful website, you have a great book, you're a best-selling author, you're this and that, you're on TV, you're on this show. They don't see everything else that happens once you get off this interview. You're going to go back to work more than likely.
Of course.
That's just life for you.
Yeah. I think not everyone's willing to do what it takes to have a plentiful life and a life full of options and opportunities. I think it all stems from me being an immigrant, to be honest with you. I think there are a lot of advantages to being an immigrant because your parents and you have come from a place that is far worse. And so here we sit around a lot and complain, oh, this country, this is the greatest country in the world. Everyone around the world wishes they could be here. We are brimming with opportunities. And when you're an immigrant, you know that from the time you're very little. You also know that your parents really sacrificed to bring you here and that you can't waste that opportunity and that privilege of being an American citizen. You know, I feel like immigrants, I'm the most patriotic person I know because my parents raised me to love this country. And also, we really are scrappy. You know, we understand that whatever you have to do, I mean, my father owned his own business in Cuba. My mother was a school teacher. They came here and my dad painted cars on the Ford Motor Line and was happy to do it. My mother became a seamstress in a factory, happy to do it. So, you know, they've always taught me, you do whatever it takes to get to the next place, and you do the best job, and you keep going up. And so I have a work ethic that most people go, my God, you're an animal. And I go, I'm only emulating my parents. They taught me that you work hard, and great things come to those who work hard. And
as an immigrant, I feel the same way.
Yeah, right? So I think my greatest pain is my greatest advantage. And that's why I feel like I tell entrepreneurs, in your pain is your brand. Don't try to sweep under the rug the bad things that have happened to you. Or I believe that we were given those lessons to help us go to the next level. And if you take those lessons and instead of being Debbie Downer about them and a victim about them, if you say, there's a reason I was given that lesson, think about it. I was the president of Telemundo, the Latino network. I produced about 700 shows about Latinos' families' lives. If I had not been the kid of immigrants, if I didn't know the problems of being an immigrant, I would not have been able to make those TV shows that were hits.
Yeah, and a lot of human interest in that as well. And you've transcended that, right? You took it off screen. You took it offline. You're doing obviously these shows, which is online and offline at the same time. But you're also doing other things with the Adelante movement and other things that you're involved in. So let's talk about that because we haven't talked about it enough just yet. But let's talk about that, what you're doing there, because it's important and not for the reason that people think. I didn't have you on because you're female, because you're a successful female or anything like that. I had you on because you're making a difference. And I don't care if you're male, female, in between, or whatever it is, or an alien. It's about making a difference, a positive difference. And you're not pandering, which I greatly appreciate, because I can't stand pandering. So ultimately, that's what matters a lot to me. So that's why I do this, and that's why I want to have you on. So let's talk about the Adelante movement. Let's talk about the spark and the great things that you've been able to accomplish with all these great people that have been a part of this movement.
Thank you so much. I think it's important to say that in order to even get to the point where I'm doing something that gives back, the truth is I've been a TV media person for many, many years, but all the years I worked in television, I saved my money and I bought real estate. And I think it's important to say that, because in the book I say, don't buy shoes, buy buildings.
Yeah, you say don't buy bling too.
Yeah.
You get the bling.
So I went and bought all these buildings, and by the time I was still very young, in my early 40s, I never had to work another day in my life because all the buildings were rented. And so I had time to give myself – I had never finished school. I went back to school. I got a master's and doctorate in clinical psychology, and – I decided it was my, before I did anything else, what could I do that could give back? And I thought, you know, I really, all these Latinas in my own community, I wanted to show them that instead of being victimized, that they could start their own businesses. And in fact, already after 2008 and the bad economy, Latinas were the fastest growing entrepreneurs, and so were African American women. And I thought, let me help these women. And so I started this tour around the country, training Latinas, and then other women started showing up, and certainly these women, these ethnic women that had nowhere to go, African American women, Asian women, Middle Eastern women, Indian women, Native American women. And so I've spent 4 years traveling the country training women in entrepreneurship, and it's been the greatest joy of my life. And the book really comes from everything I've learned on the road, training women in entrepreneurship, hearing everything, as you can imagine, everything you could possibly hear, I've heard. and realizing that I think in this country, if people like us take a private sector approach to bringing opportunity, information, having people meet each other, having people understand that you need a team to do it, that we can change the economy of this country by creating more small business owners. And I really think that's the answer for this country.
I agree. Yeah, there's opportunity in a lot of different things. Even the worst experiences that we go through, there's opportunity in there somewhere. We have to find it. Again, that big O word. And luckily, there's people like you that are helping and engaging and being active and helping other people who are not at your level try to step up and get to, towards your level, instead of trying to be that, like that power center that keeps people down and, you know, doesn't give them the details, the dirty details of how they actually got to where they got to. You do that. You do that in your book. You do that every day. You do that on your sites. And by the way, people can check out the tour dates and events. You have Washington, D.C. coming up, right? They have June 17th. They just passed that. Yeah, you have Washington, D.C. coming up August 3rd, and they have Austin, Texas coming up. So that's on becomingselfmade.com, and there's a tour dates page from there. Our main site, Ellie Galan, which is also your Twitter handle with the underscore in between the first name and the last name.
Yeah.
And once again, the book, Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way, the foreword by Susie Orman is also really good. But obviously the book itself is fantastic. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's very empowering. And
Thank you.
But
well,
congratulations.
You know, I'm so glad you said that most sometimes when we see successful people, they don't deconstruct for us how they got there.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that people understand, you know, I tell people, I'm not J-Lo, I'm not Beyonce, I can't sing or dance, I'm not an athlete. And little by little, I did it. And if I can do it, you can do it too.
And that's a very powerful message, and one that gets people riled up and gets people excited, and that's the whole point. Enough of being demoralized and feeling like a victim. We don't have to feel that way in this country. I mean, look what's going on in other parts. I know you're Latina, and look at South America, how the generation there, body parts coming up on the Olympics, what's going on in Venezuela. it's a whole big mess. We have something in this country, our biggest problem is which bathroom we're going to use. And not that I want to get into that right now, but that's the biggest problem. If that's the biggest problem we encounter every day, God bless us in every way, you know, and that's what I have to say. But again, thank you for your message of power, strength, empowerment, and the inspiring message and the things that you do every single day. And again, the websites, becomingselfmade.com, NellyGallon.com, and the Adelante Movement, which has a ton of likes on Facebook, a very active group there. So this has been a great interview for me and a very important one for me as well.
Thank you so much.
Both being immigrants, a lot for us to share. I'm trying to get to your level too. So
my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Nelly. Thank you again. God bless.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.